Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, it's Lola Pettigrew and it's a glorious episode. We have a right laugh and Lola's just got bags of energy and it just pours through this episode. And I can't wait for you to listen to it. We chat all the usual stuff about records and stuff. We also talk about the film that I first saw Lola in, Dating Amber, which is a wonderful film that I can't recommend enough. And we talk about lots of things in and around that film and the impact that that had on Lola's life. And it's a really interesting chat. And before we get on with that chat, just a few thank yous. So I'd like to thank Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. And thank you to you lovely lot who have continued to support this podcast and help grow it. And, you know, help put it in a position where I can reach out to incredible people such as Lola and ask them to come and talk about their records in their life. So thank you to you lot. If you'd like to support the podcast, then the best ways you can do that is subscribe. That doesn't cost a bean, so go and subscribe. If you see us on the socials, we're on all the socials. Give us a like, love and a share and a retweet, all that stuff. If you'd like to get even more content, then you can head over to Patreon, where I put up radio shows and video episodes and such. And you can support me over there. And this also, I should stress, if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track and you like listening to Ace Chats with wonderful people from the acting community, from music, then go and have a look in the back catalogue of this podcast, because there's over 250 episodes now with people such as Maxine Peake, Joe Hartley, Amanda Abington, Helen Behan, Thomas Turgoose, Michael Smiley, musicians such as, where to start, Foo Fighters, Tommy Lee, Fatboy Slim, Public Enemy. So go and have a good rummage in the archives and go and get stuck into some other nice chats. And speaking of nice chats, it's time to get on with today's glorious natter with the absolute delight that is Lola Pettigrew.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Right, we're recording. Joining me today via the means of Zoom. Hello, Lola.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Same as the last couple of months, you know. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Well, before we talk records, like let's have a chat about the last year. And, you know, it's unavoidable, them chats. How have you found it as Lola, the person? And how have you found it as Lola, the creative?
The first lockdown, me and Fiona O'Shea, who's my best pal, we were hiding out in this caravan in Wicklow in Ireland. And so we were like literally on the beach. We had all these like country lanes. So we were really lucky. It was quite idyllic. And it was like it was actually really nice during that first lockdown to sort of pause. Because I'd been working back to back quite a bit. And then during the second lockdown, I was working. So it was kind of weird going from being like completely on pause. And I think I really tried to forgive myself during the first lockdown. I know a lot of people were like, I'm going to write my Hamlet. I was like, I'm going to bake vegan carrot cakes and binge Netflix shows and go for a run if I fancy it. So that's what I did.
And I think that's really important, because I think anybody in the creative industry feels that pressure. I mean, I've spoke to lots and lots of, you know, actors and musicians and producers and such, like, over the last year, and so many of them was like, well, you know, all of a sudden I wasn't touring, so I just thought I'll write a record. And very few have just gone, oh, I just thought, fuck it, I'm gonna just watch some TV and kick back. It's like, why not, you know? How often is this, well, hopefully it's only going to be a one-off, how often is this gonna, you know, happen in a lifetime, where the world stops turning the way it's turning and you can take that breath and pause and just kind of, I mean, if you reflect, if you know, if you spent any time sort of on reflection or anything like that?
Yeah, I think it's been like massively a portal year for everyone. Like, you know, one minute you're sitting on the sofa binging Tiger King and or whatever it is, and then the next minute, like, everything is so existential and you're like, gosh, you know, when the world has completely paused, what does it all mean?
Yeah.
And then you go back and you binge the next new Netflix series. And you just, I just think, you know, let it happen when it happens. And then, you know, forgive yourself. It's been a mental year.
Absolutely.
You know, for everyone.
Lola, let's talk records.
Yeah.
I would like you to tell me the song that you think has the greatest ever intro, please.
Bronski
beats Small Town
Boy.
Right, I'm well old, right? You're still basically brand new. How has that kind of made its way to, like, the greatest intro for you? That come out when I was, like, about 10.
Yeah, it was, I think it was, like, 1984 or something, but EJ can thank you, mate. I don't know, I think, I'm not sure where I actually first heard it. I've seen it in cinema and I've seen it in TV shows, and my dad would have played it. He's great taste in music, and I'm aware that it's like a queer anthem. And so I think it resonates quite a lot for a lot of queer people, and historically has. And it was actually recently used in It's a Sin, Russell T. Davies series. And I just think that when you hear, like, those opening notes and then he comes in and he just starts wailing, there's just something chemical that happens inside me that I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You want to, like, dance out pain.
And you know, the world was a very different place then when that come out. And I honestly think that was probably the first... I'm talking about the music video now. Have you seen the video?
Yeah.
So that video for me, as like 10 or 11, however old I was, I'd never really experienced queer culture in any way, shape or form. And that was my introduction to it. And straight away, your heart is bleeding for Jimmy Somerville, because you just think he's kind of being pulled into this situation. And then, you know, his parents turn their back on him. And that bit where, like, they just put a tenner in his hand or whatever, and, like, oh, it's just heart-wrenching. And, like, yeah, that was such a powerful video when that come out. And, you know, and rightly so, it was used in It's a Sin, because it would have been, you know, fast approaching the time when, you know, all of the stuff that show was based around was starting to, you know, really become, you know, a big, big problem in the UK, you know?
Yeah.
It was... Yeah. Did you enjoy It's a Sin?
So I binged it all the first night on all four with my mum, and we were just on the sofa holding hands, just weeping. But I think it really struck the balance as well. I mean, obviously, there's so much tragedy there, but I think it really struck beautifully the joy of community that queer people find, and the happiness and that sort of chosen family. And all of the joyful experiences the queer people have, because I think sometimes in cinema, particularly, there's sort of a notion, and a lot of people seem to lean towards more tragedy. I mean, like, not often that you'll see a gay character unless they, like, die tragically at the end or get beaten up. And so I think it's really important that, you know, we also frame queer people's stories with joy, because we're really joyful people and we experience a lot of joyful things, and we have a sense of community that a lot of other people don't have, and our friendships are truly like family, and we help each other figure whatever it is out. And so it was really nice to see that joy on television as well.
Yeah. It was just wonderful television. I watched one and I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm like, I'm in there. I've got to do the lot. It was just so well made. It was just fantastic television.
Yeah.
Lola, I'm going to take you back for track two, and I'm going to ask you to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
So for this one, I picked The Cure, A Letter to Elise, and then I'll talk about Cellophane by FK Twigs after.
Okay.
But for The Cure, I grew up listening to The Cure. My daddy was a massive fan. And so they were always present, and that song was always present. But I remember, I think I was going out with somebody or something, had my heart broken when I was maybe like 13. And I listened to that song again. And it was like that typical like 13-year-old where you're like, I get this now. Man, I get this. It just hits real hard. I understand.
He wrote this for me.
Yeah, this is for me. And I was like, I remember like lying on my bed, like playing it and like crying and being like, oh my God, nobody has ever understood this song the way I understand it. Like, is this what it is? You know, I've grown up. But then also, I think the first song that I cried the first time I listened to it was FK Twigs' Cellophane. When that album came out, I was actually going through a breakup, and I put the record on, and that was just it. It was just the most emotional outpouring of energy that I've ever had in one go. And that song, like, honestly, I still can't listen to it without crying. I just think it's beautiful. I mean, she sounds like she's crying when she's singing. And it's just punching through everything. It just feels like slices. It's stunning.
And so if you find yourself in a situation, not necessarily like a breakup, but just, if you wake up one day, you're feeling blue and you're having a down day, do you reach for the best of S Club 7? Or do you think, where's that Cure record? I'm gonna immerse myself and I'm going to process this emotion. You know, do you sling on music that kind of sits with the mood?
I flip-flop. So I remember my friend, it was actually Fionn, I was like in my living room and I was really upset and I was crying, and I think we were probably listening to FK Twigs. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to get a shower. And then I go into the shower and I just blast Lizzo and dance in the shower. Do you know? I really, really flip-flop. But I think like that's good, because they're both great emotional releases. And sometimes I do want to just sit in the darkness and sort of, we love wallowing in our own pain. And sometimes you just want to dance it out. And that's just as great.
And I want to just touch on that Cure track, because it's not necessarily the most commercially known Cure track there. It was, I think it was the third single off of Wish. And also, thanks for saying that your dad was playing it, because I remember buying that when it came out. So again, it's making me feel really old, this podcast today. but it's also one of my favourite Cure records. I think it's an absolutely beautiful record, and they rarely play it live when you go and see them. And I just think it's a right little hidden treasure. So, like, top shout on that one, mate. So, where was home then? Where was the sort of formative years, Lola?
Belfast, West Belfast, yeah.
Happy times?
Yeah, I mean, I had sort of like an upbringing like everybody else sort of here. I grew up in Balmerfee, and I went to St Dominic's, which is on the Falls Road. And yeah, I had like a really, really happy childhood. I wouldn't really complain about it.
Okay. Well, for track three, I'm going to stay in them formative years and ask you the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
That would be the Veronica's Untouched.
Okay. And tell me more about that record and why.
I think that came out in like 2007. So I was maybe like 12-ish. And it was really, really popular. And also I think for a lot of people, it was maybe sort of like a little queer awakening.
Really?
Yeah. The Veronicas they're like sort of like cult queer sort of band. And obviously with Jessica as well, being a queer person. But I remember watching that video and being like, interesting. Okay. This is, that's okay. And then being like, right, I like women. and I think that if you play that song, those opening notes trigger quite a lot of queer people. And it's just an absolute banger.
Yeah. How was school?
I wasn't the biggest fan of school. I wasn't the biggest fan of authority in general. I got good grades. I always got good grades. And I had really class friends. But I just wanted to get out as soon as possible.
Did you know what you wanted to be?
Yes. I always wanted to be an actress. But I also wanted to be a poet. And when I was applying for universities, initially I didn't apply for drama school because I was afraid that they were going to say no. So I actually applied for English and creative writing. And then my friend Anthony basically gave me a kick up the hole and I applied for Royal Welsh, and then that was it.
Was the creative side of what you wanted to do, was that encouraged by teachers?
I wouldn't say by certain teachers. There were one or two teachers in school that I adored, that were really, really nourishing. But we had STEM subjects pushing us a lot, and I think to a certain extent I get it. Like, we were a working class Catholic girls' school in West Belfast, and they wanted to push people into science and technology and engineering and maths, and that's great. But I was never going to do that. And I think that, I'm not sure that it was, acting definitely wasn't nourished in school, but I had a great relationship with like my English teachers and stuff.
And in regards to, your chosen path, it's something that, that sees a lot of, eyes on you. Would you say you're a confident person?
No. I'm incredibly anxious. I've had terrible anxiety since I was about 13. I got diagnosed with it when I was about 13, when I started having panic attacks. And I'm like, I suppose I'm like confident in that. I don't know. I'm an incredibly anxious person. I find like even going into shops, I like rehearse asking for a tin of Sprite.
Really, I shouldn't laugh. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. That's terrible. But but are you confident in your abilities, though, when you get on set? Is that something like where the confidence, is there? It's like, look, I know what I'm doing here, and,
Without a doubt, absolutely. I think as well, I look quite young. I'm, like, aware that I play teenagers. But I'm a 25-year-old woman, and I think sometimes I have to talk very directly so that people don't talk to me like I'm 15 because I look like that,
Yeah. And also in regards to the career path that you've chosen, aside from confidence, I'm always interested in people's drive. Would you say you're very driven?
Yeah. 100%.
Always been driven?
Yeah. If I have my mindset to something, I'm going to do that. And I think that just comes from my parents. Like, they were just like, it was never a question to them whether I could or couldn't do it. They had always said that I would. And so probably just had like a inflated sense of belief because of that.
I mean, what more could you ask from parents? That's great, right?
They're the best.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Last track really in the formative years, and for track four I'm going to ask you to tell me the first song you remember buying from a record shop, please.
So the first record that I went and physically bought in a shop was a vinyl of Bob Dylan's Bring It All Back Home, and I was obsessed with Maggie's Farm. It really reminds me of my friend Anto, actually, because I think that we heard it, I think I heard it for the first time. There was this vintage shop in Belfast called Big Bang, and if you went upstairs, they had all these secondhand vinyls and lots of books, and they had a sofa, and you were allowed to go up and put on a vinyl, and you could just like leaf through the books and look at everything and talk. And so we used to go and do that, and I think I remember hearing Maggie's Farm playing there with my friend Anto and Connor, and Connor started like singing it, and we were like dancing around the clothes. So then I went and bought that album.
I mean, Lola, this is the one where people generally say something really embarrassing, and you've just knocked it out the cool park with that one. Fucking hell, Bob Dylan, like first record on vinyl from a vintage shop. Don't get any cooler than that. So, I mean, you also said that you was interested in poetry and stuff. So was that something that you, that kind of attracted you to sort of Dylan and what he does as well?
Massively. I mean, I remember having like notebooks, and like my school planner was just like covered in Bob Dylan quotes and pictures. And I my friend made me like a Bob Dylan bracelet from these beads. I was obsessed, still am. But I remember somebody telling me he wrote It's All Right, Ma, when he was like 23. And I was like, what the fuck? We're just spoiled for everybody else, man. I'm never going to, like, I'm past 23 now. I'm never going to write something like that. Fuck off. Stop it.
Oh, dear. I mean, just talking records as well. It sounds like your folks have got great taste. What, aside from The Cure, what other sort of records were on in the house growing up? And was there always music on in the house growing up?
Yeah, my daddy's obsessed music, and he has such a varied music taste. And so, like, everything was played growing up. He played a lot of, like, Kylie Minogue, and then he would play The Cure and Oasis and the Stone Roses and, you know, just a little bit of everything, and it was really nice. And I remember he used to go in when my daddy was, like, in work or whatever, and I would go in and I'd sneak some of his tapes and then, like, run into my room and play them. And then he'd go looking for the tapes, and I'd be sitting there like, not a clue. In fact, I stole one of his Cure tapes, and I found it recently in my childhood bedroom, like, it was jammed in my old vinyl player, which you could also play tape on. And I found it jammed in there, and I was like, oh, God, he's probably been looking at my ears.
So that's probably been in there like 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Well, let's move forwards a little bit now. And I'm going to ask you for track five, Lola. The song that soundtrack, not soundtracked, but soundtracks, I'm going to say, because you're still, you know, young to be, you know, you should be out there and clubbing. You know, 25's no age to be hanging up your dancing shoes.
Wow.
The song that soundtracked your years in clubland, please, Lola.
So I said Ariana Grande, Break Free.
Mm-hmm.
This is always, always played in a gay club, always. And it's just one of those ones that I just have really fond memories of just like popping it out with my pals in like Kremlin, which is a gay club in Belfast, or like Boombox or whatever, or, you know, in GAY in London, and just having the absolute crack. I'm a massive Ariana Grande fan. I think she's great. I love pop music. I think she's fantastic. And I'm obsessed.
So was there plenty of sort of like gay clubs in the area that you grew up in that were you know, accessible?
We have a couple in the town. The big one would be Kremlin. There's not really like a lot. It's a very, very small scene in Belfast. And I was never really part of the scene so much. I would go to like Kremlin a lot and dance with my pals. But yeah, I think as well, like I was out when I was younger and then I crept back in the closet and then re-came out sort of with a different version. Yeah. So it was always a bit of a, yeah.
And so was there plenty of like these sort of experiences that you drew from for the film?
Oh, the film, is sort of the thing that helped me come to terms with my sexuality.
Really?
Yeah. I think that I'd sort of assimilated into heterosexuality in this weird way. And you know, I dated girls and I'd been with girls and I knew that I liked girls. But I don't know, I suppose it's like it's a lot of entangling, and I think I really did that filming and the year after. But compulsory heterosexuality is such a thing, and it's so easy to be drawn into it and sort of quieten your queerness. But definitely when I did the film, I realised I'd given Amber and her sexuality all this time and weight and space, and I hadn't done that for myself. And it was really tough. There was a lot of nights crying, trying to figure out what happened and why. And there was just like an aching sense of like loss. And I'd lost all these years and presented myself as something that wasn't authentic or true. And so, yeah, I definitely think that dating Amber saved me in a wee way like that.
And it's a beautiful film, Lola, an absolutely wonderful film. On a night out now, if you're going out clubbing, what do you want from a night out clubbing, Lola?
I just want to mindlessly just like dance and shake it all the way. I love dancing. I'm the person that's like, come on out of the smoking area. Let's just go and give it. I love dancing. Even now, like in the supermarket, because there's no clubs. If I hear a tune, I'm going to dance up and down that bridge. I'm going to take it where I can get it at the minute.
Okay, well look, let's take you home for track six. A favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
So this is Pillow Queen's Liffey.
Great shout, by the way.
It could have been any Pillow Queen song. I'm obsessed with them. It could have been anything. I actually was on the phone to my friend Fionn and we were just like going back and forth, and then I just settled on Liffey. Because I mean the harmonies in it, the wailing guitar, like the cymbals, like it's stunning. The like the religious imagery, oh my gosh. They're so talented. And I've been such a big fan for such a long time. And so they released their debut album this year and I've just had it on repeat since.
So I suppose, have you seen them live yet? Or is that, I guess it's still pretty, I guess no gigs have been happening anyway, have they? So that's...
No, I've tickets to see their live stream at the end of this month, and then I've tickets to see them in the summer in Dublin. But whether or not it goes ahead. I mean, I hope it does. I'm so excited. But yeah.
Oh, can you imagine how good, like I mean, I run a venue, that's a club and a live venue, and I just can't wait, just not just to DJ for my own reasons, but just whatever bands give out, whatever DJs give out, the crowd are going to just give it back in exactly the same. I'm 47 and I'm ridiculously excited about it, Lola.
It's like filling me with the biggest smile, because can you imagine all of that energy? It's going to be, everybody's going to be the main character that night, and I can't wait. I can't wait to compliment every girl I see. I can't wait to argue with men in smoking areas. I can't wait to dance it out on the floor. I'm so excited.
Did you say everyone's going to be the main character?
Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful description. I love that. Lola, it's your last song, and you get to play Tastemaker here. And I'm going to ask you to tell me a song that you think many may not know that you would like them to hear.
So this song is by Magical Clouds, and it's a song called Downtown. And I just think it's beautiful. I just think that the first time I ever heard it, I fell in love with it. And it's a song that I can just hear the opening beat of it, and it just transports me right to a place. I think the soundscape, and it's gorgeous. And they're not together anymore. I think they disbanded in like 2016 or something. They were together for a really short amount of time. But that whole album, Are You Alone, is great.
And the track you've spoken about, are you if you hear a new record and you love it, are you one of them people that kind of thinks, right, I don't want to spoil this yet, I'm just going to kind of drip feed it to myself? Or are you kind of like me and just think, I like this, I'm going to listen to it 300 times in a row?
Absolutely. I listen to it. Absolutely. I love making playlists. It's like a little hobby. I like making playlists for other people. And I like making playlists for projects that I'm doing. And I like to make a playlist like a month, and then that's my playlist for the month and sort of my soundscape for that month. So I love doing stuff like that. Play a song to death. It should be. You should grab every little ounce out of it.
You mentioned Spotify playlist there, and what we do also do is put a Spotify playlist together for this podcast, so people can go and listen to all of your choices, Lola. But you mentioned something, and you make a playlist together for work. And I'm always interested to ask actors, actresses about this. Like, do you do a playlist for something to listen to on the way to work, or do you create a playlist that you think the character would listen to?
If it's for work, it's definitely for that world, for that person, for that world, for the relationships. At the minute, I'm writing something with my pal, and we've created this playlist, and I was like, throw anything on it, because you might think, you know, it's about this certain relationship, and I'll grab something completely different from it, and don't think that we sort of have to follow like the same genre or whatever. Throw anything in, because we're bound to get something from it. But I definitely like, if it's for work, it's about that world.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Lola, we're at the beginning of March in a year that, you know, everybody's hoping he's going to see some significant change and a return to being able to hug randoms and just get back to, you know, lots of smiles and dancing and such. What are you looking forward to from 2021 personally, and what's coming up professionally?
I can't wait to see my granny, not through a window, and my granda. I can't wait to hug them and to hold their hands. And I can't wait till it's like socially okay to pet people's dogs again. Because there's this like weird thing. Like, obviously, because of COVID, you're not meant to go up and pat random dogs. And my heart is broken. Like, if I think back to all the dogs that I've seen in the past year that I haven't been able to tell that I love them and just pat them.
So what, awesome. Do you just stand there and stare at them and freak them out?
That's awesome. Like, I'm just, do you know? And it's just this aching sense of longing to pat everybody's dogs again.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to look forward to. And what's coming up professionally, Lola?
I've got a show coming out in, I think, May, but I'm not, I think I'm not allowed to say anything about it yet, so I'm not, just in case I get in trouble.
Sure.
And I've got a show coming out probably towards the end of the year, and that's been released. That's Anne Boleyn for Channel 5.
Wonderful. And obviously Bloodlands is on at the moment. Well, if people want to keep up to speed with everything you're doing, Lola, where's the best place to keep up?
Probably Instagram. Post stuff on Instagram all the time. I love Instagram. Very Instagram active.
Lola, this has been an absolute joy. Like,
thank you so much. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for your time, mate.
Thank you, pal. Enjoy the rest of your day.
There you go. Told you you'd enjoy that. Oh, how lovely was Lola. What a wicked chat. Solid song choices, lots of laughs, some really, really lovely little insights into Lola's life and career. Huge thanks to Lola for that. Thanks to you lot for listening. And as I mentioned at the beginning, continuing to support this podcast. It's an absolute joy doing this. And if you get a fraction of the joy that I get, you know, recording, listening, then wonderful. My job is done. Everything you need to know about this podcast, you can find at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. I'll see you next time. Be excellent to each other. See you soon. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier.
What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off The Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off The Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whippin.